to preach, all of a sudden this same God that saved you begins to work on you and say, hey, you need to preach this as I lead you. You don't need to get a lot of weird ideas. So when I was a child, I spake as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. And in this church abided three things, three gifts of God, wondrous, marvelous gifts of God, hope, faith, and love. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. We're going to take a look at principalities, dominions, and power in a pictorial illustration here before long. But right now, I just want to concentrate on you knowing you're saved and you knowing that you didn't deserve it and you knowing that God did it all by himself and you knowing that you can't lose your salvation. And that will make you more grateful to God than if you thought you could. All things were created by him and for him. And that's the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And he is before all things. Remember, Jesus saith, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The disciples had a whole lot to learn. Did they learn all of it before they died? I doubt it. Will I learn all of it before I die? I know I won't. Will any of you? Well, that's between you and the Lord. But I guarantee you, as long as you're in that body of flesh, you're going to have a sinful nature in there that's going to be battling you, trying to change you into something that you want rather than what God wants. Now, Jesus is on the throne in the millennium and last kingdom. That's where I want to be. That's in that city. That's what's the house of God up there. There's a dominion outside of it. There's a principality. It's there. But God just doesn't expect you to get the... He wants you to have a greater blessing. He wants you to have the whole blessing. He wants you to understand how gracious he is. And when you really sit down and think about yourself and are honest with yourself and you see what he's got prepared and offering you an opportunity to live exactly where he lives in that city, you'll want to live in that city. He says... And he is before all things. You say, well, no, God's before all things. He is God. And by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church. And my friend, throughout the Old New Testament, you see church and you see churches. And you wouldn't see churches in there if they weren't local. And a church is not a great universal invisible body of believers. If you want to put a name on that, I won't object to you calling it the family of God. We're going to see a lot of people in heaven that were saved but never would go any further with the Lord. And they were misled either by their own intentions or by the ones that pastored them to believe something that just wasn't true. And Jesus said to a man who had listened to him for over 3 years, when Thomas said, you know, we don't know the way. And Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And they had just taken the first Lord's Supper. Now, who is this? And he is the head of the body, the church, the local church. He's the head of this church. He's the foundation of this church. We're his body. He lives among us. He's here today. You say, I can't believe that. Why do you believe it? Because he says in Ephesians 2:22 that he is. You say, well, I can't believe that. I do. Because he says it. And there's a uniqueness about our relationship with one another. And we get out of sorts with each other, but we get over it. And we forgive one another, and we go on. You say, well, why do you think we get like that? Because the devil wants to influence every one of us. And he would love to destroy this church. And that is the only way that he can cause consternation. And we need to be praying that he would protect us from the wiles of the devil. He already is. But let him know you want him to please continue. He's going to continue anyway. But go ahead and ask him because it lets you recognize. I need to serve him. And do what Thomas and all the rest of the disciples did. And it needs to be done correctly. That's the way it is. That's the way it's always been. That's the way it's always supposed to be. He says, the firstborn from the dead, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And having made peace through the blood of his Christ, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. I'm reconciled. What does that mean? I'm not under the condemnation of God anymore. That means I'm going to heaven. Okay, that's settled. So the next question is, was I baptized as the Bible instructs? Yes. Was I? Do I observe the Lord's Supper as the Bible instructs? Yes. Am I a member of this church? Yes. That's what I think I'm supposed to do. In the body of his flesh through death to present you holy, hagiso, set apart, and unblameable and unreproachable in his sight. I may not be in your sight, but I am in his sight. And when he sees me, as one preacher I heard preaching even when I was about 7 years old, he said, in his sight, you're covered with his blood. And you're accepted like the Passover. And he said, he only sees the blood of his only begotten Son. Well, is that true? I think it is. It's a figurative thing, I admit that. But this is how Jesus personally saves you by grace. I told you I was going to do this in the easiest way I knew how, where I could understand it when I was 12 years old. I probably couldn't have. Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I remember when it happened. I remember the feeling associated with it. But it's not the feeling or when it happened. It's that it happened. He said, come unto me. He's talking about himself. Come to Jesus. He's very much alive. All ye that labor and are heavy laden. He's taken your sins in his own body on the tree. It was the humanity of Christ. It was the man, Christ Jesus, the perfect, sinless man, Christ Jesus. He didn't have a sin from the formation in Mary's womb by God to the day he died. He did it as God in the flesh. He was Emmanuel, God with us. When I found all that out, and I gave you rest, I didn't understand it that night. But I had tried for 4 years to please him and had failed. You've heard this many times, but I want to make this as plain as possible. I wanted to go to heaven. I didn't think I was going to go. And so I just kept trying. I kept trying to stop having bad thoughts. I stopped trying to do this. I stopped trying to do that. I stopped trying to do all this stuff. And instead of getting better, I got worse. And I couldn't understand it. I thought, what do you want, God? But I kept going and I kept trying. And finally, that night, this happened to me. I was led to Jesus by the Spirit of the one who sent him to offer his sinless flesh and blood for my soul's eternal salvation in him, and to justify the glory of my new resurrected body. Why am I going to get a resurrected body? Because he died for me. Did it not say that he is the propitiation for our sins, that God might be just and the justifier of those who believe? I tell you, it's true. And if God says he's just, brother, that is just. And so you say, well, how do you look at that? I accept it. I accept it. And I was justified by the just one, Almighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. I was justified by him in Jesus Christ. And the offering he received was the physical, sinless perfect blood and offering the body of Christ, who, like me, was a man but without sin, and he was the second, he was the last Adam, and he was made a quickening spirit. I got my life from my forefather, Adam, my physical life. Been passed down through a long chain. Men have been calling on the name a long time. But I got my salvation, my new spiritual acceptance. I got my new spiritual father, who is Jesus, when he led me to him. And those three offices are all fulfilled by Jesus Christ. And when you get to heaven, you're going to see a magnificent God. And he's going to be more magnificent than we could ever manage. And his name will be Jesus. And there'll be a closeness and a warmness to him that you could never have had if he hadn't lived within you. He knows you. He understands you. He understands all about you. And he forgives all your sins when you come to him. And he forgave all of them when you did come to him. And he's not going to send you to hell. So that's the first thing I want to get across without any question. He says, John 6:38. Well, let's read this. I was led to Jesus by the Spirit of the one who sent him to offer his sinless flesh and blood for my soul's eternal salvation in him, and to justify the glory of my resurrection body. He did it all. All of this is done by the grace of God in Christ Jesus. They could not understand, many of his disciples, how they could eat his flesh and drink his blood. Jesus, with the woman at the well, told the disciples, they said, "Aren't you hungry?" or words to that effect. And he said, "I have meat to eat that you know not of." He hadn't taken one bit of physical food in his mouth. Well, where'd he get that from? Is it real? Is the Word of God really God's food? Is it really spiritual food? Do you really consume it? Can you really partake of it? God, you know that we can. And we can. And when we receive his sacrifice, and when we accept that as the total price for our sins, you are accepting the sacrifice of the Lord. And you are accepting it. And you are partaking of it as the total price for your eternal life in heaven. The disciples were church members. And they didn't even understand this. I sure didn't understand it the night I was saved. I was raised with Catholics. Most of them were Catholics. And then when they would go down and confess their sins to the priest, and they would come back completely relieved. And I mean, it was counterfeit, but I didn't know it was counterfeit. And I thought, Lord have mercy. I didn't have anybody to confess my sins to except the Lord, except Jesus. And I did that. But I always wondered, why do they do that? So one time I talked to them about it. And I discovered that the Catholics believe that when they put that little wafer on your tongue, that's the physical blood and body of Jesus Christ. And they believe when you drink out of that cup, that that's the blood of Christ. And they believe if you don't keep eating that real blood and real flesh, that you can't keep your salvation. What a blasphemous, ungodly lie. Now, I can't call it anything else, but that's what it is. Listen, when you ask Jesus to save you, you accepted his blood. You say, well, I didn't quite understand that. Listen, when God led you to him, you didn't know zip. And so that's what happened to you. And now you can understand it. I didn't understand that the night I was saved. I just knew that Jesus loved me and died for me and he was the Son of God. And I suddenly realized he did it all. And man, I ran to him in my heart as fast as I could go. I didn't know whether he was going to change his mind or not. I'm sorry, but I was so confused and so mixed up. Later on, I wondered, did I do the right thing? I did the right thing, but it was God that led me to do it and God that did it, and I can't take any credit for it. That's what grace is. You can't take any credit for it. You just have to accept what he did. Oh, I love it that way, because now I know I'm not going to hell, and I never will. But my life is not complete. It may not last through the night. But I know this, and this is the first beginning of your actual ability to worship Jesus Christ. In John 6:38, I came down not from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. My goodness, that's the humility of Jesus Christ. There were two wills inside that body. The will of Almighty God, the office of Almighty God, the Godhead, the office of the Son, pre-incarnate Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Now, he says, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. Jesus was the Son of David. But David wasn't perfect. But Jesus was. God formed him in Mary's womb. He was a perfect man. He was Christ incarnate in us. And he was to be called, according to Isaiah, the God with us, Emmanuel. I don't completely understand all this, but I thank God for what I do understand. And I'm willing to accept anything that changes my mind that God uses to change my mind. But all this was done by the grace of God. And then he goes on to explain it to him. He doesn't mince any words. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting, hath health, hath at present indicative active. That means he had it. They have it. I have it. I've had it since I was 12 years old. God gave it to me. I am that bread of life. I've been eating that bread, and I wish I'd eaten a lot more of it, because he is the bread of life. It's spiritual bread. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. He said they ate physical bread and they're dead as doornails. This is the bread, me, which cometh down from heaven that a man may eat thereof and not die. I will never be separated from the Spirit of God. I will never be separated from God. I will never be separated from Jesus. I will never be separated from God. You say, well, what, how can you believe? He said so. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I give him is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. And I believed it. Did I understand all that? No. But I did know what God said, and I called on his name, and I know he saved me because he said he would. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. I partook of that bread when I was 12 years old, and it was his sacrifice and in blood and flesh for my sins. And if that doesn't take away my sins, nothing else can. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Now notice what his disciples did. Many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? Then Jesus knew in himself. And they went back. They just went back. They bailed out. Quit following him. When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doth this offend you? The word offend means to stumble. And they stumbled over the rock. They stumbled over the fact that he was God. They were willing to accept him as Messiah at times, but they stumbled over the fact. They stumbled over the rock. They stumbled over the stone, Jesus. And they stumbled over him, and they stopped following him, and they did not believe him. What an if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? Now, he's telling his disciples this, and he's telling you and I the same thing. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. He said, wasn't it the Spirit that made you alive? Wasn't it the Spirit that made you follow me? He said, the flesh profiteth nothing. You know why you're here? The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. If you accept what he says and believe that the church is what it's supposed to be, you'll find a new joy and happiness in life, because your life will be dedicated to his body, which is the local church. And it will be dedicated to him, because that's where his Spirit dwells and that's where he teaches the truth. Jesus told us how to be saved through Paul. Here it is. It fits everything I've just told you. Jesus told us how to be saved through Paul. Acts 20:21, testifying both to the Jews and to the Greeks. That means everybody. Because if you weren't a Jew, then you were a Gentile, and they used the word Greeks for it. They looked upon them as Greeks. Repentance toward God, turning toward God. The night I got saved, I didn't know I was turning toward God. I just knew that I sure did want him to save me. And I turned toward God. And he had said, whosoever shall call upon his name shall be. And I believed it. And I asked him. And he did. I still believe it. I will believe it till the day I die. And then I'll see it. Now I want you to listen, because I'm going to read this. I'm not going to comment much on it, because I told you I'd get you out of a 12, and I've got 4 minutes. Acts 20:21. Well, I've already read that. Then after Paul told us this, then God had Paul tell him how Acts 20:21 is to be done. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. The moment I believed and asked, God imputed his righteousness to me. That was the relief I felt. I didn't know it was his righteousness. I just knew that something had happened. And I wanted to understand it. And by the grace of God, I am now absolutely certain of it. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. I had tried for 4 years. To keep the Ten Commandments. I had tried to love my neighbor as myself. I had even tried to do some other things that I might have been able to do. But it was hopeless. Absolutely hopeless. Well, but that word for is because. He said, I'll tell you why Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth, because Moses described the righteousness which of the law, that the man which doeth these shall live by them. He wasn't talking about physical life. He's talking about eternal life. And I came to understand that very quickly after I was saved, because the Holy Spirit started trying to teach me immediately when he got inside me, and that was the relief I felt. I felt great relief. But what if I hadn't felt it? I called on his name and I would still have been saved. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart, I had this attitude. Who shall ascend into heaven? I knew I couldn't go up there and get him and help him. I knew I couldn't. I couldn't obey his law. That is to bring Christ down from above. He came of his own volition. The sinless, perfect man in every way who gave his will, turned his will over to God. It's a hard thing to do. But he did it. Or who shall descend into the deep? Man, I was scared of going to hell. How could I help him keep me out of hell? I didn't understand it. But when I read this, I understood perfectly what it meant. That is to bring up Christ again from the dead. Now he's going to tell you what the righteousness, which is of faith, does say. He says, but the righteousness is of faith seeketh not, picketh on this wise. Say not. He's going to tell you what not to do. First, he tells you, don't try to help him. You didn't have to bring him down here. You didn't help get him down here. He says, the word is nigh thee even in thy mouth and in thy heart. Or who shall descend to the deep to bring up Christ again from the dead? Who's going to resurrect him from the dead? You going to do that? But what saith it? Oh, I love this, Lord. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. That doesn't mean when you don't pray at your table, when you go out to eat, that you're ashamed of him. If you want to apply to that, I would agree that I've heard Assembly of God preachers deliver a thankful for food for about 20 minutes. Well, not, maybe not that long. But shall be ashamed. But that's not what that's talking about. You ever been ashamed? The most ashamed I ever was when I was tapping on something on one of the buildings over in Jerusalem. And this guard just crawled all over me. Well, there I was leading that group. I couldn't fire back at him. But I wanted to kill him. Why? He made me look silly. You like to be made silly? And you like to be ashamed of what you did and wish you couldn't do it? That's just the way I felt. And I gritted my teeth and I have never forgotten that. He says, don't worry. You won't be ashamed. Why? Because everything he tells you, he's going to do. Everything he tells you, he's going to do. And you won't be ashamed when you get that glorified body. Man alive, you'd wish you could go back and tell everybody you didn't tell. At least I think that may be the way you feel. I don't know. I've never been there. He says, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, all men. For the same Lord is rich, and I like the way Leonard talks about this all the time. He's rich. I mean, God is rich unto all that call upon him. He's rich. I'm not. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Who can make a poor spirit rich? The only one who ever truly overcame. He's my Savior. And I've called upon his name and I'm saved. I'm going to ask Mike if he'll pass out those things. During the course of this week, don't worry, I'm finished. I was 2 minutes over again, so I owe you 4 minutes. You can't ever trust me, but I'll do the best I can. Now, during the course of this week, I'll talk to you as I go back there. I did a series of messages on what's happening in the Middle East. Some of you weren't here. So if you've already got one of these, don't take one. Well, you can take one. We only did 50 of them, and I didn't want to.